it's got a warmth to it. It's like a fireplace of a TV show.
Yeah, it's yeah. You don't have to really worry about anything getting too dark that this, you know.
Yeah, it's not like 2% of the population of Everwood is about to disappear.
Right, right. And I've realized, like, again, like how much Treat Williams, like, I in following him on Twitter, he makes me feel better. And
he's like wholesome. He's yes, a wholesome human being.
He really is. And like the more, I'm so glad that I like really started following him after you told me, you said that he just posts like he's on the right side of history kind of stuff. So I was like, okay, I'll follow
him. Politically liberal. Yeah.
Right.
Are we going to try to do two episodes tonight?
No. Is it the Thanksgiving one?
The second one it would be if we did two tonight.
Well, should we do that closer to Thanksgiving?
I mean, if you think that you won't be too busy next Tuesday,
we don't have any plans. Like, I'm no, not, we're not doing
anywhere.
Anything.
Nobody's going anywhere.
Are you doing anything?
No. I mean, yeah, no, I'm not going anywhere.
Are you doing anything?
Are you fucking a turkey, Adam?
I have no, like, plans yet. I guess, like, I don't even know if Tyler's, like, gonna drive home for Thanksgiving. I have no idea.
Yeah,
but I might, I guess, do like something with Jerome, but yeah. We haven't really planned anything. Or
like, does Jerome have family nearby, or does he?
He doesn't visit his family much. He says.
Well, then so. You're gonna do Thanksgiving with Jerome, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Aww. Get some Arby's.
That'd be cool.
Get some Arby's.
Yeah, so okay, cool. One episode tonight, and then we'll do the Thanksgiving episode next week.
Okay.
I'm excited.
Good
for that.
Plan.
That'd be cool.
Well,
tonight's episode is called Is There a Doctor in the House?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I have.
In the Christmas house? I mean,
apparently there is a doctor.
I hope he plays a doctor. I hope we're heading in for something.
I commented
something
in the past week that I'm so happy that the. The thing that we've said to ourselves for, what is it now, 14, 15 years, a Treat Williams actually means more
we
to
really,
us now.
Yeah, we always just used to say, a Treat Williams. We had no idea who he was. Really
Not
didn't
really.
Know.
You would say that? Like why?
Because
like,
of Tim.
It just stuck in our brains. Just
because
that.
Of Happy Time Explosion Show.
Do you know what we're...
Do you know...
Wait,
you know,
did we do a Treat Williams show?
He referenced.
So it was talking about. It was when we were performing at your
FNM.
College. No, I think.
I think
oh, was
it
at
Millersville?
I mean,
wait, where
Treat
did he
Williams
go?
Went to FNM.
Yes, I know.
Hmm.
But I don't think it was.
Oh, was it? It was it in the context of me doing the Everwood theme song?
I think it might have been.
He definitely said it. Did you do the Treat Williams theme song?
You mean the Everwood theme song?
I'm sorry. Did I say the Treat Williams theme song, you guys?
I mean, I did it in at least one Happy Time.
Right. So whatever that one was, I remember Tim introducing you, and because he always, I remember the rehearsals over and over just hearing saying, a Treat Williams. And so we always say that to each other just when we talk. It's just, yeah.
I don't remember, Tim said that?
Yeah.
He was introducing you and talking about Everwood and saying that he was, you know.
That's
I don't remember the exact phrasing, but except for that part.
Yeah, that's all we say is a Treat
Williams. A Treat Williams.
That's okay. That's funny.
And we've been saying it for years, and now we're like, we know who he is.
That's hilarious.
He's great. Popcorn dinner. Are we gonna watch?
Yeah, we're gonna watch.
Did he act in the Green Room Theater? He must have, right?
Did he?
He probably did. Yeah. How crazy is that?
I think I remember black and white photos in when they did the Rochelle. I think they had some Treat Williams in this. Right. Like, I think I was like, who the fuck is that? Who cares?
Yeah, for me it was just like, oh, he was in Hair.
Right,
and I had never seen Hair.
Nope.
And but I was more excited about Roy Scheider just because I actually knew who that was. So, yeah.
Okay.
I was muted.
Yes, you were.
Are you recording?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here. Do do do.
It's real high.
all I could do it. Oh shit, I can't. Okay, hold on.
Have you ever felt more pressured while doing that than during these?
Turning it into podcast has broken me. Welcome to Ever Would Never Wouldn't, a podcast where I, Adam Lawver, make my friends
Eric and
KT
watch and discuss with me the first season of the hit early 2000s WB teen/family drama Ever Would. Tonight's episode. Oh, shit. Oh.
Something about a doctor.
Doctor is in.
Oh, I got it. I got the DVD.
Oh. Is there a doctor tonight, in the house?
Tonight, shut up.
I did it.
No, you got.
You didn't read the DVD.
Tonight's episode, season one, episode 10. Is there a doctor in the house? The official episode description from the DVD booklet. A snowstorm strikes, and so does a medical emergency when a celebrant at Edna's birthday party requires an emergency appendectomy. They keep
trying to make it spoiler free. Yeah.
That's interesting. Nina encourages Andy to speak his mind and heart to Ephraim. Oh, golly. This episode had a lot going on.
It was because it was all like character focused. It was like one setting.
It was so character focused.
Yeah. One it wasn't setting. Like jumping around to every like different fly fishing and stuff like that. It was just like the residents of Everwood all in one house.
Yeah.
Well, Andy kind of fly fished for Bright's appendix.
Wow.
Yeah, not quite a bottle episode, but definitely more kind
in
of
that
focused
direction. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, thoughts, initial impressions.
It's funny. I actually did not. I don't think so. I'm silent because at the beginning I thought it was going to be a different kind of episode. So I thought it was so cute that grandma nurse
Edna
didn't want her birthday being celebrated, and I was excited about more of the grandparents being there, and then the grandma, the other grandma, see, I don't know anyone's name, the Jewish
Ruth Hoffman.
And she, it just seemed like it was going to be more of like a working through Edna's stuff episode. Sure. And then it like that kind of went by the wayside a little bit. I mean, like, you know, it turned around at the end, obviously, because she was talking to Bright. But like I didn't know what to say because it was a lot. Like it started, I thought it was going to be like a thing, a cutesy, like it was going to be like problems with throwing a party for somebody who doesn't want a party. And then that kind of wasn't so much of a big deal. And then it was so much of other stuff. So
yeah, it seemed like a setup for like that kind of
more like
story,
a comedic,
that kind of, like a sitcom episode.
But they
used that. What I really like that ends up being just kind of the setting, the backdrop for all of this other stuff going on.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool personally.
Yeah. I agree. I'm trying to think of everything that happened.
Eric's just trying to make sure, like, do we have snow stuff? Are we prepared?
Snow stuff. I know. I thought that was very funny.
I love anything snow. I mean, I guess not, but I just love snow, right?
Yeah.
And so as redundant as it kind of got with the like both Herb's narration and then also characters, all of them basically there are all these lines talking about snow, right? Mm-hmm. All of life's rules are suspended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like time stops, Amy says, and then there's the equalizing effect that Irv's narration talks about at the in the middle of the episode.
Yeah. This episode was written by like a 7-year-old, like as a paper convincing your teacher to not have school or something.
Yeah,
like
there you go.
Like it was definitely very, yeah.
I mean, I've been waiting. Like it feels like Snow has been like the elephant in the room in this show. Cause like, I know it's not like they got there in the middle of summer. They got there in fall.
Yeah.
And now we didn't get any snow until 10 episodes in.
People think about Colorado and they think about snow. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's nearly as snowy as people kind of picture it, having, you know, lived there for several years. But yeah, so like I'm a sucker for snow, and as redundant as all that was, like it totally resonates with me. Like I that's why I love snow days. I love like blizzards. Like it does, like it levels the playing field. Everybody kind of, I guess this doesn't, it's not as like magical to talk about during a pandemic though.
Like everybody that has to stay also
home.
And like, and we're heading into a like a winter that's going to be terrible, I guess, but we're not gonna talk about that. But today we got our first snowfall here in Pittsburgh. So
nice.
First we had the gonorrhea scare that lined up with the STD episode. And now I've got the first snow that I got to kind of enjoy. And then we have the episode.
And I took KT's appendix out yesterday.
Yeah. So. Isn't that amazing?
Whoa.
That's really weird. This show.
Coincidence.
I didn't even connect the dots until right now.
I know. I'm glad he listed those other things.
By the way, this episode directed by Robert Duncan McNeil, who played Tom Paris on Star Trek Voyager. I knew that he like has done a lot of directing. I knew that he had done a lot of directing on Star Trek Voyager. I had no idea that he directed Everwood. He might have directed more episodes than this one.
Well, he did a great job.
Yeah,
very cool.
Well, no, except for okay, if you want me to talk about it, I'll talk about the thing we paused it over. What in the fuck is the daughter's problem? The doctor's
Amy's
you were given problem. An explanation as soon as we stopped playing.
No.
Or started playing.
There
it
is
again.
No explanation. There were multiple points at which this girl's brother is like fucking dying of appendicitis. And she's first of all like, I'm hanging out on the porch with this kid that I'm toying with his emotions forever. And I'm
they
gonna
didn't know yet. They didn't know yet while they were out there.
Hiding.
Watching the snow. It's different here than in New York. Chunkier. I used to like rain better, but now I'm on the fence.
I like the snow. Snow is something to say. When it falls down like this, it's like time stops. Everyone stays home and, I don't know, drinks hot chocolate. Am I allowed? Thank you. Why didn't you tell me you're thinking of leaving?
I didn't think you'd have much of an opinion.
Of course I would.
Sorry. I came out wrong. I didn't tell you because I needed to figure it out for myself. Like it or not, you tend to have an effect on my moods.
I've seen your moods. That's a lot of pressure.
It's nothing you do on purpose, but it's like when you're nice to me, there's nothing I can't do. And when you're mad at me, it's all I can think about. When you say things like, maybe you should move on, and it sticks with me for a little while, you know? You're in my head.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Not your fault.
It is sometimes. I don't exactly have a history of being cautious with your feelings, Ephraim. If it helps, any of my moods have been lousy, too. I thought it was bad when Colin was gone. Now he's awake, and I can't even go see him. His parents kicked me out. He said he wasn't ready.
It sucks.
It really does. So now that the decision's yours, you're really gonna go?
I think so. Yeah. New York has everything, right?
Everwood has really good sim.
That's your pitch.
Oh, come on. He had appendicitis. Anybody who actively has appendicitis, you're scared and nervous. Unless they want to portray...
Well, they were outside. When she was outside of that room, that it wasn't a thing yet.
They didn't somebody know he was came sick, out. Period.
Yeah, they didn't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, somebody... No, really? The whole day he was sick. I mean, yeah, I know that...
He was.
I know at first it seemed like a plaything, but when he was sitting in the house and like... Even the nurse commented on his color is looking like balsa wood. Like, I don't know. And then all of a sudden he disappears up into the bedroom and all the doctors are up there. And she's just like, I love the snow. I don't know. Wait, so somebody came and told her something?
No. I thought.
No,
I
Delia thought. Comes out to the porch and tells her dad.
Right, that he fell down, which he was already up there with appendicitis, and then at that point it escalated. That's what I'm saying. It's still no her react. Like she doesn't even talk about like okay. In reality, if your brother, unless he's a total douche, which I mean, I know he's played by Chris Pratt. I know he's played by Chris Pratt, but seriously, like yes, and I know the brother isn't like really great. But really, like, really, unless he's a real asshole, you're not going to be worried even a little bit. And that's maybe a topic of conversation.
But I think she is worried. But the fact that she like and she talks about it with Ephraim later, like,
she talks about how time stands still and how it's a good thing with the snow. And yet her brother has appendix. That's my point.
I don't.
She's emphasizing how we're all isolated and everything stopped and my brother has appendicitis upstairs. She doesn't say that, but I'm saying that that really jarred me because she's talking about how
he's going to be okay. They've like her father, I'm sure, said like what he said to everybody else is like, there's a very low chance of it rupturing on the first day.
I think that's silly.
I think that's a silly thing to feel silly about.
I think it is silly because then it continues later when he fucking is rushed to a non-hospital to get his appendix chopped out. She just makes hot cocoa and
it's
totally okay.
Yeah, but like
the
line that she says right after we started playing again is she didn't want to drink it and she understood like she just needed to do something.
Maybe I just don't like this actress, you guys. Sorry, because I know Adam likes her, but I'm sorry. I don't think I do.
I think
she's not a good actress because she doesn't
she was
show
never...
any. I thought you really liked her. Okay, good. Then I can just say it. I guess it's
never my favorite
acting.
Part of the show.
Well, that's not what I said. I just think that you've complimented before. I thought she
Emily Van Camp, future guest of the podcast, Emily Van Camp.
I hope all of these people really come on and criticize the acting that I've done in my life. Like, I hope they all listen to Pork Fried Dice or something, and then they're like, wow, this person can't act. What are they talking shit about all the time?
I guess I don't know. Like, it makes total sense to me that, like a sibling, like, would just kind of be, like, maybe feeling, like, kind of apprehensive about it, but in a way that, like, she has no control over it. She's not going to hang around it. And, like, in the meantime,
what?
All she can
That's
do, especially
in
the...
That's a grown-up thing to say when you can't control something to not, to, like, just,
no, it's
I
like
don't
your,
know.
Your parents but she's... are handling it. Like, her dad's a
yeah.
daughter.
If my, like, you really, do any of you care about your siblings? If your sibling, when you guys were teenagers, had appendicitis and you were stuck in a house in the snowstorm, you
that
wouldn't be like,
to
guys,
me.
I'm so worried.
But what would
you
I do?
Wouldn't
yeah,
say anything?
What would you do? What would you would talk about it, yes.
But I would
Amy
at least
is...
mention it, even if I wanted to talk about my teen hormones on the porch with this
but
other
she
guy.
Does...
I would still be like, God, man, it's so weird that we're trapped here in the snow. I'm a little worried with all this snow that because it's really beautiful and everything, but it's really scary that my brother is trapped in here with appendicitis. That's nerve-wracking. I just think that's weird that it's not even she's just like, I love the snow and I love being trapped in a house. And her brother has appendicitis. I will not. I'm not conceding.
I think if we've learned anything tonight, it's that KT cares a lot about their siblings.
What?
Only if they're Chris Pratt.
This
yeah,
so
like it's so it's
to me.
I mean, because she does talk about it with Delia, and she also like acknowledges, like I think we get retroactive explanation of why she was kind of maybe like all like. Maybe feeling kind of paralyzed about it. She's already kind of like hospital and like illness shy. And she was thinking about the fact that the last thing she had said to Bright was like an argument or whatever. Like that is what's on her mind. Like, and she's like so
she's,
trapped in her head.
Maybe she was just really embarrassed that she didn't flush the toilet.
Yeah. No, but like, it's not like we don't get her like acknowledging it or talking about it.
Everything is centered around Ephraim, though. Like everything and the snow and just snow. Like, which, by the way, I love snow too. So I said that just to be a jerk. But like, it's so unbelievable to believe. When you're a young person, the people you care about are your immediate family. That's all you really know.
Like, not your brother. Like, you don't care. You don't think about it in that way. That's so sad, you guys.
Wow.
It's not sad. It's just, especially when your parents are like, when your dad is like, he's going to be fine. Like, we'll take him to the hospital tomorrow. Like, what is she going to do? What is she going to say?
I just think that it was unrealistic that she wasn't like, I'm nervous that I'm trying. The speech
she said
she
that to
gave,
Delia. She no, said that to
the
Delia.
The speech she gave about the blizzard was literally about being isolated and everything stopping. And meanwhile, her brother's upstairs. It's not like she's talking about something completely different. She's literally talking about how the snow stops everything and everything's frozen in time and it's fine. Yeah. But that is a very specific thing to be talking about when your brother has a medical emergency, and that's what I'm saying. And then later it goes to the hot cocoa, fine, she doesn't want to drink it, but still, like, I don't know, it was nonsensical to me.
I will concede that, like, a brief line from her acknowledging that was happening upstairs would have been more realistic, but I don't think that she had a sense yet of it being a medical emergency.
Yep, I agree.
The urgency had not hit in yet. It was
have
just
you guys,
like
known people with appendicitis.
She probably didn't even see him. Like,
have you guys ever known anyone with appendicitis? I knew somebody where their appendicitis exploded.
I know that it's a serious thing.
It is a very serious medical thing. You can die from that. And
yeah, but would she know? She wouldn't know that.
Really? That's like one of the things you learn about as a young person, because that's what happens to every. Like, that's one of the major surgeries
that kids get. Was she even told
that
he has appendicitis at that point?
What?
She might not have even been told that he has appendicitis.
It might have been concurrent
just
with,
been like,
okay,
or even
fine,
just
then
like,
I'll believe,
your brother
if we're
going to
assume
well,
that she just doesn't even know about it, but I think that's also poor writing. That they're in this isolated party and her brother went upstairs,
like,
and she just doesn't
like
even
then,
know.
Like,
I don't know. I just don't agree. We can talk about something else because I don't agree on this one.
Speaking of Emily Van Camp, we have ourselves Everwood Neverwouldn't Civil War. Which she was in, obviously, this Captain America Civil War. Well, this is it. This is like when E does behind the scenes documentary of Everwood Neverwouldn't. This is pivotal moment. Like, we just spent how long arguing about
guys, I feel all the stars dropping.
It was the thing that bothered me. The only thing that really bothered me about this episode, because even Chris Pratt like played his role fine. Like,
ooh, can I say something that bothered me?
Okay, go ahead.
So all of these Everwood veterans, right? These people
like
who like, where's
veterans?
No, not.
I'm sorry.
Not just,
I can't.
Not just Edna.
Okay.
But where's your snow stuff? Yeah, where's your snow stuff?
Right.
Everybody, we got snow stuff. You got snow stuff. And everybody knows what that means.
We should get him to the hospital.
Have you seen the snow? It's more than a foot of it's come down since we've been here. It's waist high on the road.
Well, can't we call a plow?
Irv is here. Irv is the plow. Okay. 90% of the time, there are no complications in the first day. We'll all probably only be stuck here overnight.
Stuck? Oh, that's fantastic. Gonna come at a better time.
Oh, I may as well make ourselves comfortable. Where's your snow stuff?
Snow stuff?
Bedding, pillows, toothbrushes, condensed milk, emergency extras for when guests get snowed in. Oh, don't tell me.
You people should have a packet explaining all your customs. I thought snow was just a normal part of the routine.
Well, it is, genius. Only sometimes the snow wins.
How many of these people would still be at that party?
Yes, I
with
had
that
same,
much
yes,
snow
I
coming down. They'd be like,
agree.
Sorry, I know it's your birthday, right, but we have to get home because
well,
six,
also,
60
wasn't there
people
a weather
can't
forecast?
Stay.
Like,
yeah, I mean, they,
yeah.
Like, they didn't, they, yeah, all of it was kind of suspect. In
weather
regard,
can be a bit
yes.
more unpredictable by the mountains.
Yeah, okay.
Because it just happens like that.
Really? Okay. And it just like comes in and there's just a ton of snow. Yeah, like that's definitely, I had the same thought though, because I have never lived in Colorado.
Like, how many of them would get to that point where they're stuck? Like,
right.
They literally can't get home.
But I guess that's what
maybe
they were,
it's a
yeah.
thing,
if
I guess.
That's really a thing.
So, like, I mean, that's totally. But I love, part of my love of snow is also like, I love the idea of like people, like non-family having to be snowed in together. Like, there's something like, I want to be like the host of that. Like I remember once like there was a huge blizzard coming into Boston and there was like a guy at Suffolk in the theater department where I was a grad fellow or something. I don't know what happened, but like I invited him, like, dude, come like be snowed in with me. We'll hang out. We'll like watch shit. And like I fucking like loved that. I loved I think part of it. No, he had just like moved into a place and it wasn't like set up yet or comfortable, or he didn't have furniture yet. So I was like, dude, come crash on my couch. Anyway, my point is I love that idea of like having to like offer hospitality to people during like a blizzard or something, having to get blankets and like I like that they go next door to Nina's and that she's offers all of her blankets, all of her snow stuff.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, this is cozy, it's communal, it's nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Should we do we need to do prattling on as like a palate cleanser?
Ugh, prattling on, man.
Prattling on with KT. Chris Pratt is a homophobe.
Oh my God. You see, I've been he's so prevalent in the news just because of his lack of being around, like his lack of defending himself. Like a lot of people are mad at him because of so many things and people are trying to cancel him and everything. And I think like the thing that I want to prattle on is actually it's related to Chris Pratt, but it's all these fucking celebrities who are like, yo guys, I met Chris Pratt. He's great. Like fucking Mark Ruffalo, who is such a good human in general, but he's like, listen, you guys, Chris Pratt's really nice. And like everyone's fucking saying that who are like all rich assholes who know Chris Pratt and his fake fucking face. Like that's the problem. Chris Pratt is one of those fucking people. And I've known these fucking people who are like, I'm really Christian, and then they just throw their hands up like that means I'm good, okay? Like, listen, I'm a good person. And it's so fucking frustrating because that's not an excuse for anything, and it doesn't justify anything, and it doesn't mean that you're a good person. And that is like what he's hiding behind, I feel like, and he's just not saying anything. He's so fucking rich and his dumb face, and I hate watching him in the show. I get so mad every time I see his stupid face. You guys, I need anger management classes.
I think you're taking it right now.
All right. So I don't know if this belongs in during the prattling on segment or after it, but like Chris Pratt aside, like there are some adorable scenes tonight between Delia and Bright. Like this is the episode where like Bright starts, where we see another side of Bright as a character, of like seeing him kind of interact with Delia, be kind of like cool and like
cool, except that he definitely, and it's, I guess maybe it's Chris Pratt's acting, but it seems like the character is written this way, that he's like an 8-year-old, like the biggest doofiest 8-year-old. His faces are always like he, it's like he's doing a Jim Carrey, like
he has
overacting with his
face. Katie.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not talking about that.
Like, seriously, like when she said to him that her clothes were itchy, I expected him to say me too.
Yeah, too, and like take off his tie.
That was a great line where he was like, "That's a way cool outfit."
Yeah,
and she's like, "It itches."
Yeah, it's really cute.
Then we have that great moment where Vivian Cardone like takes off her hat and puts her hair behind her ear, a little cute little crush on.
I really hope that doesn't keep going because I'm like,
it's not gonna become like a main fucking storyline.
They're gonna get married.
It's two episodes from now. Thanksgiving marriage.
Guys, we spent so much time on the snow and the appendicitis. We've got so much to get through.
It's true.
Okay.
So let's do it.
Can we also talk about, at the end, Andy's pants were grandpa pants?
Jump into the end.
Because I just had to say it. It has nothing to do with anything. I got to substitute my little comments in there.
Church pants.
I didn't notice his pants.
Dude, you guys, when he bent over, his whole ass was a hot air balloon. Like, they were the biggest, baggiest khaki pants I've ever seen in my life. And poor Treat Williams. That's all I'm saying. I say the costume things every here and there. It doesn't have to be in sequential order. It's just...
No, it doesn't.
Just got to sprinkle
that
it in.
That being said, let's go in sequential order. we've got Jacob talking to Ephraim about the New York City move. That's the big kind of... through line of the episode, obviously, is Andy keeping on telling people, I haven't made my decision yet.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I think that Ephraim is a total turd for like disrupting Edna's birthday party.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just to confront Andy.
When
about...
the dad tried to talk to him earlier.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's so stupid.
I was like, what? Yeah, I didn't like that either.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
Get out of your way.
Well, you don't have to. You could stay here for a minute and talk to me.
Yeah, what's there to talk about?
Well, I think plenty.
Thought you'd be happy I was going back.
Why would you think that?
Years of experience.
Well, forget about me for a second. Do you have any idea what this might do to your sister?
More than you did when you moved us here. You know, we would have been fine if we just stayed in New York. You'd be respectable and out of my face instead of the town crazy. All right, I'm going back.
You know, just because you and your grandfather have made up your minds doesn't mean that I have. I may not be your favorite, but I'm still your father, and it's still my decision.
Unbelievable. You're not even sorry I'm going. You're just mad that I'm going with him. It really is all just a competition with you.
You have no idea what this is to me. We'll talk about this later when you've calmed down, okay?
No, you want to talk? Let's talk. Come on, let's talk. Say something.
I don't think we should do this right now.
Yeah, you know, I miss home. I miss knowing my way around. I miss having friends I can trust. I miss not feeling like a freak all the time. I miss not being around people who think Cats is an opera, all right? All you have to do is say it. Just say it. Just say it. Just say you can go back. You know you want to.
Don't put words in my mouth. You're the one who wanted to move back.
You're leaving?
No, sweetheart. He's just thinking about it.
Oh, come on. You love this stuff. My fate's in your hands. You dragged me out here, and you get to own me going back.
Listen.
No, really, you listen. I'm asking you. You tell me, you really think I'd be happier in Everwood or better off in New York?
I think you'd be happier in New York.
That's what I thought.
Moody teenagers.
Yeah.
To be clear, KT, I don't like it as a character thing that he did. I like it as writing.
Yes.
I knew that was a distinction that would be annoying. Yeah.
No, it's not even annoying. I'm trying to think about whether I agree. Like whether I was bothered.
Agree.
Yeah, just because he's a teenager, and so
that's
he would
just
totally,
wait.
Yeah,
you just wait
self-absorbed, like
till your kids are teenagers.
Drama, like yeah. You know, like.
But he doesn't seem to be the kind of kid that would want to do that in front of a bunch of grown-ups.
He
seems
wants
so
to make
self-possessed
his dad uncomfortable.
In so many
he's
ways.
He's mad at his dad. He's doing it.
So he's trying to cause drama for his dad in front
no,
of people. That seems
he's got,
really.
It's like
he's got bravado. That's all. It's just bravado.
He has no fucking bravado. He reads anime or manga or whatever the fuck.
It's strained. Like, it's strained bravado because he wants to be like an anime character. Like it's not cool. It's
okay,
dumb right. And like it is lame that he like does this.
Actually, that, like, you know what?
I
want to
be a man in my grandpa's eyes.
The manga thing actually just like mentioning that now I'm like okay maybe he does think he's a badass. For
remember back to the first episode. It's not Ephraim waiting to turn into a moody teenager. It's a moody teenager waiting to turn into Ephraim Brown.
Welcome to the human race, Ephraim Brown.
Welcome to the human race, Dr. Brown. Okay. There's some great like pair-off scenes in this episode. So we've got Andy talking to Julia's mother, Ruth, first, kind of asking her, like, you and I could always talk. And she explains to him, she's up front. She says, like, you know, you're good with Delia, but you're not good with Ephraim, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Andy and Jacob have some couple of good scenes.
I want to talk to you.
In a minute.
No, now.
So here it comes, huh?
Yes, here it comes. I think it's time you know what I think about this.
We already heard what you think.
Not all of it. I think it stinks.
Bravo.
I think you put me in this position.
Blame me if you want, but I'm doing exactly what you'd do if you could see the shape you're in. You're barely holding it together. And your boy is so depressed every time I talk to him, it's always about how he hates it here. How you two are tearing each other's heads off. You know, he asked to leave.
Only because you pushed him. You knew when you packed your bags you were going to take him back. You were just looking for a reason.
I don't need a new reason. The old reason's just fine. Andy, you were always only just half a person. Yeah, you're a great surgeon, but you're only a surgeon. As a man, you like glass. No substance. No soul. And you're lucky with Delia. Because she's so crazy about you, she can't tell. But Ephraim knows. He sees right through you. And that's because you don't have Julia to cover your ass.
I think I've done pretty damn well for my kids under the circumstances.
Pretty well, huh? In this ridiculous town where you can live your half a life and get thanked for it because your medicine is free. Where you can pretend to be the new Andy because you can cook dinner. You're squandering your gift. And I'm not going to let you sink Ephraim with you. You lose this round.
We both lost that day. I haven't thought about you for 1 minute since she died. Those kids are all I've got left in the world. And there's no way in hell anybody's going to take them away from me.
I was a father, too. And you've been taking what's mine since the day we met. You took my daughter and you neglected her. And now she's gone. I won't be left for nothing.
But Jacob telling Anne, that was really a damning little speech when he's like, you've always been just half a person.
Ugh.
Like a glass man with no soul. Like, Jesus.
That was like really extreme seeming. Yeah.
But like, it seemed like the buildup over the course of the episode before this and this one, like I could totally see it that like Jacob, like retroactively, you can kind of see like he's got some things in the cylinder that he's ready to
pull out. It was disappointing to me because I thought like my perception of them last time was it was starting off as, oh, I'm going to feel prickly about these in-laws. But then I was like, oh, they are trying to care for him. But then the scene seemed so like harsh. And then later it got more clear he's more self-conscious because he's losing his ability to be a surgeon. Mm-hmm. I think that he's like, I mean, and the whole like classic thing where I lost my daughter. That's bullshit. And it's like very accurate and stupid. And it made me sad because I'm like, really?
You've been taking what's mine since the day we met.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to be that way, but then he was, and it was kind of disappointing.
Yeah, but the thing is that like no one side of him is like defines his character, right? Like I like that we see all these different facets of him, and when Andy, you know, interrupts him playing piano at a party that's supposed to be fun, and takes him outside and tries to get confrontational, like and in the context of what Ruth tells Ephraim too, right? Like.
Finally found the good napkin. Still in a box in the garage. Oh, you on the phone?
No. Just trying to decide if I should tell anyone I might be moving.
Like Delia?
Among others.
She's a smart girl. She'll understand.
Think so?
Maybe your father could help you talk to her.
He and I didn't exactly plan this out together. We're not exactly talking.
Maybe you should.
You seem pretty pissed.
Come with me. This used to be our table. Did anyone ever tell you about the first time your father and grandfather met?
There wasn't much blood.
Jacob had been hearing it in both ears about your father for weeks. In the hospital about the genius hotshot, and at home from Julia about this handsome kid sweeping her off her feet the past few months. And he doesn't like any of it. Well, she finally brings him home. We finished dinner. I made a brisket. And your father has that look in his eyes like he knows what he wants and he's here to ask for it. Permission to marry her.
Yeah, I bet that went well.
I shuffled Julia out of the dining room. Leave the two of them alone. Before your father gets out a word, your grandpa pulls out a bottle of Polish vodka and he puts the bottle down right here on the table. Takes out two shot glasses and starts pouring. Those two went shot for an hour, talking about anything but Julia, waiting to see which one would blink or drop first. Neither did. I had never seen anyone keep up with Jacob before, but your father just wouldn't be beaten.
He didn't want to lose.
He didn't know how.
So what happened?
They both fell half asleep at the table. Your father never did ask directly. And Jacob never said yes directly. But as my father used to tell me, the Talmud says, silence is approval. Your father's not angry at you. It's been like this between them for years. They'll always be trying to drink each other under the table.
that they've always been, they're always trying to drink each other under the table. Yeah. Like, if Andy's going to come swinging, like, Jacob's going to come swinging right back.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that the relationship makes sense and that those scenes were really kind of elucidating. I also think that the acting, when was it Mark Rydell as Jacob Hoffman? Yeah, when he says, like, and now she's gone, like, yeah, his voice kind of cracks, mm-hmm, and it's like, it's really,
yeah,
really solid.
Yeah, I really like that actor, like, mm-hmm, Jacob. He was really, really good.
Yeah, yeah, Mel Brooks.
Yeah. Oops, I forgot.
No, not the grandma.
he plays both. Oh, Andy talking to Nina earlier when he's like,
yes, oh,
I love Nina. So, I love that we're seeing a bit more Nina. Mm-hmm. I in my memory, like, Nina was like in every episode, but now I'm realizing like she's really just in like almost every other episode.
Yeah, she's not really in it as much.
I like that she's helping out with the snow stuff. I like that she like confronts Andy. She's like, I need to brace myself for the self-pity.
Yeah, that was, mm-hmm, great.
And when he says like, I want what's right for Ephraim, and I'm beginning to think I'm not it.
We were once snowed in during a slumber party. Half a dozen five-year-olds running around for 3 days. I suspect that the parents could have gotten here in two, but they wanted the break. After using towels for blankets for a couple of nights, I vowed never to be unprepared again. You are not listening to me, are you?
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I just need to brace myself for the self-pity.
This isn't self-pity. I'm trying to do what's right for Ephraim. I'm trying to give him what he wants. The funny thing is, he thinks I don't care. And every time I try and tell him, someone says something stupid. I say something stupid, and it all just goes to hell.
Well, you said it just fine right there. Why don't you go tell him that?
I can't do that. He might change his mind.
Wasn't that what you want? Go for it.
I want what's right for Ephraim. And I'm beginning to think that I'm not it.
Scale of 1 to 10, how do you like your honesty?
What?
Well, I'm just trying to tell you that I think you're being an idiot, and I need to know how much to sugarcoat it. You're not sure that you're what's right for Ephraim. Is that all you got? Because I give you more credit. I really thought you had something more than that. Since when is there dignity in parenthood? You're changing diapers, for God's sakes, and suddenly you want to be noble? Don't look at me like that. You had sympathy.
Thank you. You've been very helpful.
Well, who says I have to be nice all the time? And who says you do?
Yeah. She's like, come on. Yeah. Like, since when is there dignity in parenthood?
Yeah, that speech, actually, that was like one of my favorite parts of the whole episode, because like, as a parent, I've been dealing with like, it sucks to realize that just sometimes you have to be the bad guy. Like, and you don't, like, what did she say? I wrote it down. Oh, who says you have to be nice all the time? Mm-hmm. And that was like, I mean, I think the scene that followed that was when, well, I don't know if it was directly following it, but like, then he talked to Jacob after that. So I was like, oh, maybe I misinterpreted that. But like, I liked that she was like, sometimes you have to make the decisions that don't make other people happy, but you're the parent. And so like, fucking whatever, like, you got to just do it. Mm-hmm. And that's hard. It's a hard lesson to learn. And I always am trying to remind myself of that, but yeah. I liked that a lot. I thought that was a great scene, a really well-written scene. And she seems so cool. Like, what's going on with her? Is she going to fall in love with Treat Williams? I know
she's married.
She's married.
But I know, but that guy is never there. Remember, I said at the beginning that something's going to happen to that husband and they're going to end up together, because this husband
falls
is not
into
there.
A coma, and right. Andy has to save him.
Yeah. Yeah. But he kills him instead on purpose and then marries her.
I agree. That's a great scene. I love Nina, and again, yeah, R.I.P. Stephanie Niznik. It's really sad. She died too young.
Yeah.
Does she really, really have sad. To keep her cigarettes in the bird feeder? Her kid's like 4. Like, just put them in a cabinet that's high up. Right?
Maybe she hides them from her husband too.
Well, no, that's there for the birds to get too. Like, she wants the birds to be able to smoke.
Oh yeah, duh. Oh. The Colorado birds. They like cigarettes mixed in. I forgot about that. I learned in nature class in college. It was a course, Nature 101.
Andy returns Nina's cigarette at the end. you guys are like, where did he get that cigarette?
Yeah, he never smoked it. I realized.
It was very weird.
Oh, he didn't. Oh, he didn't in the scene.
Right. No. It was confusing though, because I didn't even pay attention to whether he was smoking it or not. That I'm like, why is he depositing a cigarette? Does he owe her a cigarette? I'm so confused. And I didn't realize she took it out of the bird feeder. I definitely wasn't paying attention to that. So I'm like, why is he putting it in the bird? Oh, they're there. That was very confusing. In
so
ways.
I do like, so that was earlier on when Ruth tells Ephraim the story about Jacob and Andy meeting, mm-hmm. and that they were like drinking and talking for like an hour, mm-hmm. taking down shots. And then that table they end up using at the mm-hmm. table that used to be theirs, they used as a stretcher to mm-hmm. transport Bright to Andy's doctor's office, which I think is pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Guess it has removable legs. We know more about the construction of that table now, unless wow. they sawed them off.
Is that table going to
be? Oh, wait, no.
What? Wait, yeah, Andy told Ephraim
on my table. That's what that
saw.
Meant.
Holy. So, like, that's really interesting.
Whoa.
Andy tells Ephraim, go get the saw. They sawed off the legs of that table. That's so, like, symbolic.
Wow. I did not
realize. How long
did
that take?
I was going to make a joke about the saw because I'm like, what is he going to cut him open with a saw? And yeah. then I just kind of forgot about that line, but that's uh-huh. crazy.
I forgot about it too, yeah.
Wow.
That's great.
Crazy.
What else? Okay, so Andy finally at the end has a great little talk with Ephraim and he says, like, I need you. You're the only person who can tell me it's going to be okay. And yeah. I believe it. That's like an interesting kind of like new angle on their relationship and on his, like his relationship with Ephraim, his perception of mm-hmm. Ephraim. Yeah. I wouldn't have expected that, but like that story about, you know, while they were grieving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Abbott called. Teddy's all right.
He will be. Where'd you sleep?
Delia and I split her bed. The other 1,000 slept everywhere else. You look beat up.
Yeah.
That was Dr. Abbott.
He's a good dad. He could see if anything happened, but he'd never survive it. I'm sorry, Ephraim. I didn't mean to fight with you with everybody there.
It's my fault, too.
Yeah, but I'm supposed to be the grown-up around here, not you.
It's fine.
No, it's not fine. I do the wrong thing. I say the wrong thing. I say awful things, but I get so angry sometimes.
Yeah.
No, not at you. Let me finish. I get angry at myself because I can't seem to make you understand how much I need you. You know, when your mom died, 1,000 people said 1,000 stupid things to me, and I just wanted one of them to give me a reason not to die. Then one night we were sitting there trying to eat and you just said, everything's gonna be okay. That was the first night I slept. You're the only one who can tell me everything's gonna be okay and I believe it. I don't know why you're that person for me and I don't know why we don't treat each other better, but at least now you know. I wish I could be the same for you. Instead, you're miserable here, which is my fault. And if you go back to New York, that'll probably change. You'll probably be happier. I meant that. But I don't care. I want you to stay. I need you to stay. Not just for Delia, but for me. You know, your grandfather thinks I'm only half a person. And if you leave, he'll be right.
I mean, I feel like putting a lot on your kid.
Yeah.
But maybe that's what he needs, like to be vulnerable to him in that way. That's a lot.
Interesting. Yeah.
To put on your 16-year-old.
But you
or
know,
whatever,
the, like in that whole
for him, like to say, like no, literally, like he basically said, I need you or I'm going to kill myself.
I don't
I didn't think
he
that.
Kind of did because he was, no, because he was like, he didn't say it in so many words, but he was like, all these people kept saying dumb things to me and I just wanted them to say something to me that would keep me from wanting to die.
Right.
And then you said this to me.
Right. But I didn't feel like.
It's just a lot.
Yes, that is a lot. But I think he was being honest with how important his son is to him, which is important. But also, so in the context of Ephraim trying to make a hugely adult decision about moving to New York without his father, I think that it's like, well, if you want to try to make these plans and decisions, like, let's have an adult conversation. Like, I think that Ephraim has been set up on this show. That's why it frustrates me when he does like dumb shit or like acts like the, you know, the, when he did the thing at the party where
let's talk about it.
Like this big bitchy thing because
we see his capacity for emotional maturity.
Yeah.
Right.
But then he's not always living up to that capacity.
I mean, right.
Sure.
And he's a kid, but like, it's just, it's sometimes it confused. Like, I'm like, well, what is this kid? Like, is he too adult? Yeah. Like, he's so thoughtful in some ways and like, so like, yeah, but I guess that's just a teenager, like somebody who's growing into being like a person.
He's not like Wendell yet. He'll get there.
Yeah. Nobody can
Where
be
was
Wendell.
Wendell? Why wasn't he?
Why wasn't Wendell at the party? Yeah.
Come on. It's like the only real friend he has.
I want to see a Wendell spinoff. Like, what is Wendell up to? And everyone.
What is Wendell is the title of the spinoff.
What is Wendell?
Ever Wendell. It's Ever Wendell.
Ever Wendell. Oh, I like that.
I love that last line in that scene with Andy and Ephraim, though, when Andy says, your grandfather thinks I'm only half a person, and if you leave, he'll be right.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. That was good.
I mean, I think it was just for the sake of finishing the story because it would have been too drawn out otherwise. But the Jacob's turn at the end felt a little too quick and complete to me.
I think because he was humiliated because of his weakness. He showed his weakness. He can't be a surgeon anymore. I think he was pressuring Andy to be like, come on, like, make this decision, be a man, be it like you have to like be tough and whatever. And then like he's got the tremors and he can't be a surgeon anymore. And Andy took that over.
I understand where
over.
It was, yeah, where the,
yeah.
I could see it. I could see that happening.
I just felt like he didn't have any more fight in him after kind of being exposed in that regard. That kind of is why I was like, all right, yeah, bye.
I don't know. Like, cause I don't see him. The way he's written is that his identity isn't around him being a surgeon. He's he's so well-rounded, like that's what he's...
But Andy took care of business when he couldn't.
Yeah.
And he had lied about it, and he, you know...
But that's the thing, like, he took care of business doing the thing that he already admitted that he could do. That Jacob already admitted that Andy could do was be a doctor, be a surgeon.
Yeah, but it was always, they were talking about the relationship in the past of like butting, you know, like trying to equal blows. And I don't know, like in that.
Yeah. Well, and so I see what you're saying, Eric. Like it is like, everything's like tied up in a nice little ribbon at the end there. It's a bit too neat.
I think I would have appreciated like him, like still having some.
Some edge to it.
Exactly.
I mean, so like I hear that. I think that part of it is for me, it helps that over the course of the two episodes, we haven't seen him be a total villain all the time.
No,
right?
No,
like
totally.
So, like, so it's not like it's not incomprehensible to me at the end that he does kind of back down and say these kind of things. Yeah. And the other thing is that what he says to Andy is less about the medical expertise. It's more about like, you made people feel safe.
Yes, he did.
You made me feel safe.
Yeah.
You made me feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that that was kind of the more kind of precise thing that he was kind of expressing. And I don't think he expected somebody like Andy, the Andy he knew, the old Andy, right, to have any kind of like actual good bedside manner. Mm-hmm. As we, again, like in that first episode, right, we see him be so kind of like casual and aloof with his patients. Mm-hmm. We kind of see that old Andy come through when he says to Bright, like he smiles down to Bright and he's like, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's old confident Andy.
Yeah. God, if a doctor said that to me right before I got cut open on a table from a dining room in a train station, I would be very upset.
I think I would. I would make me feel good. Actually.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it would. I'm sure totally it would make you fucking feel good. Not me though. Not me.
And then we do see at the end Jacob remember much more vaguely than Julia did.
Yeah.
And she told him.
I love
that. Because he doesn't realize it was the same place.
He doesn't realize he's standing in that same train station.
Hey, look. Starting to snow again.
It's awful pretty.
You know, this train station reminds me of a town we got stuck in years ago. Julia was just a child. Huge storm hit and our train got stuck. Surrounded by mountains. It was a beautiful place. Julia ever tell you that story?
Remind me.
It snowed like the devil. A foot an hour. The whole world stopped. Julia, she was stuck at that window, man, just staring at the snow, mesmerized. Ruth couldn't pry her away. She loved it.
That was really
that
good.
Was powerful.
Because it wouldn't have probably mattered as much to him where the heck it was. They right. were just on their on their trip trying
he
to get somewhere. And
has a memory of his daughter like being glued to a window watching the snow.
That's so good.
And just having that focus on Andy while he's telling it. Like,
yeah,
it was so good.
That was really, really
it's
good.
Very nice. What else we got? So going back to kind of some of the other arcs.
Snow.
There was like a part where he said snow and then later he says snow and I don't know why.
Who knows?
He said snow twice. It wasn't just one misspeak.
Yeah, he recorded that.
Snow.
He got a good talking to by the
talking about Irv's narration. At one point he does say snow a few times. It's weird. Okay. This episode brought to you by
Snowballs.
Irv the Plow.
Yeah.
Are you in Everwood, Colorado and need a plow? Call Irv. He is the plow.
Yeah.
And we mean it. He doesn't come out in the bus with a plow attached. He just uses a shovel. Okay. Check.
Chris Pratt said shake the velociraptor cage.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here we go.
Oh shit.
Insert here the video that I
made.
Did I show it to you guys?
No, I know it's... you, Adam.
It is my I edited together a little. I'll link it to you and then we can like edit it into the podcast episode. You know, like that's ever gonna fucking happen.
Hi, Parker.
There it is.
Okay.
Chris Pratt and Velociraptors.
I'm already sick to my stomach.
Why don't you just
shake the Velociraptor right in her cage?
That's it.
I like fucking put in those titles at the bottom, like, Everwood, season 1, episode 10, 2002.
Uh-huh.
And then showing everybody. And then he's in Jurassic World in 2015 with Velociraptors.
That was really weird. I like the video.
Yeah, thank you.
I just like that it's called Chris Pratt and Velociraptors.
Uploaded July 12th, 2016.
Oh, wow.
I was doing that like while in a PhD program. I was like,
good. Definitely needed.
I'm assuming that the Jurassic World DVD set came out July 11th and Adam had been waiting that whole day. He bought it and then he worked on it all evening and then at 12:02 a.m. on July 12th, he uploaded it.
I found a Jurassic World clip on YouTube that had him with Velociraptors.
Okay.
Downloaded it.
That's really sad that that's not the real story.
Are you looking at... Do you have YouTube up still, Adam, or is it gone?
I do have it up.
All right, close it.
Oh.
Why?
Just I have a question. Close it for a second.
Yeah, what's your question?
How many views do you think that video has?
Maybe like... Huh.
I love all these facial expressions.
Maybe like 30?
Double that. 61 views.
Woo!
Yay, that's nice.
It had zero likes, now it has one.
Wait, can I like it too? Those, I'm gonna go.
50 of those views were just me.
Oh man.
I also should report it.
You should report it.
Report it for copyright.
Yep.
Just using footage from Everwood.
Yep, exactly. It has to be the Everwood would be the,
yes, absolutely,
the reason.
WB takes it down, not the Jurassic World people.
Yeah.
Going back to, you know, we thought that the episode was going to be kind of like have a lighter kind of sitcom-y feel to it.
Yeah.
Part of that is because of that amazing musical Edna's motif there when she walks into the
yes!
diner. It's like militaristic, kind of like some march.
Oh my god, I love her.
Muffin, coffee.
Go ahead. Just take it.
Why is Anna scaring everyone?
Because that's what she does.
Not this much.
Saturday's her birthday.
What are you doing for her?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Uh-huh.
Why not?
Because I am a very smart man.
You don't want to throw her a party?
No, I do not.
Do you want someone else to?
I'd like to see him try.
Everyone's so scared of her. The guy behind the counter is like, just take just it. Just take the food. No.
That was the most sitcom-y moment in the whole episode. Him.
Yeah. Because, of course, because Saturday's her birthday. And this is ends up being right the setting for all the stuff that we just talked about. Is the a birthday party that Ruth and Delia throw.
And
for
Ruth
a
formal said birthday. The Lupus Foundation didn't want a party either. Which was so funny to me. Oh my god.
And now they're bigger than MS.
Now they're bigger than MS.
I think you might have missed that because you were
so
laughing.
So funny. Oh my god.
I like that when Delia invites Edna, Edna just like has the stare on her face, and Irv is like, use your words, Edna.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I love Dr. Abbott always. Yes. When he gets the invitation to the party,
he's so
gleeful, and he tells the kids, like, we are going. She is family.
Oh my, that's too good. No, no, no. Thank you for the invitation. We will all certainly be there. Bye, honey.
Be where?
The Brown's house.
You're willingly going to Dr. Brown's?
Yeah, I am when they're throwing my mother a birthday party.
Don't they know?
Evidently not. Oh, this will be priceless. Where is my camera?
Yeah, take a lot of pictures. I'm not going. No one's bad enough when it's not her birthday.
If he doesn't have to go, I don't have to go.
I suppose we'll need a gift.
I'm already sick to my stomach.
Why don't we just call
shake the Velociraptor right in her cable.
Children, please. Now, like it or not, that woman is direct kin, and we are not going to miss out on her abject misery. As a family. So, Bright, just do what you can to stay out of her way. And you adore your grandmother.
It's not her. I just don't know how I feel about going to the Brown's house.
I thought you were friends with the son, the one with tuberculosis.
Not recently.
Oh. Excellent. I'll start dinner.
And we're not going to miss out on her abject misery as a family.
Yeah.
And I love that he's like, I think he's pleased for multiple reasons. That, but also that it's going to be at Dr. Brown's house, like him hosting this party, like
but throughout the episode he's like, yes, she will be miserable, it will give me great joy. And then when he sees her at the party when she gets there, he's like, it's like Christmas.
Yes.
probably the best Dr. Abbott line in this episode though is when he's like, Amy's like, I don't think I want to go, I want to be at the Brown house. And he's like, I thought you were friends with the one, you know, the one with tuberculosis.
Yeah. And it was so.
Yeah, you were like so confused.
I was like,
by
was
that.
There something with tuberculosis? Like, is there a joke? Like,
no, it's just Ephraim. And you see it in this episode, especially like there are shots where I'm like, Ephraim, like you are on the death's door.
They dressed him in like all black. And I know he usually wears dark colors, but it's the black
with
his
pale dyed
skin.
Hair.
Yes.
And then the snow like just made him look whiter than ever. Just pale.
Yeah.
The one with tuberculosis. house. So when Bright's like, I'm gonna yak on their floor.
Please do.
Yeah. But when he gets to the party, Delia answers the door, and Dr. Abbott is like, "Don't you look lovely?"
She's so sweet to her.
Yeah.
She's very sweet, and she's like, "He's probably like remembering like Amy as a child, and like missing like those days." But she's like, "I don't," and. The mayor's like, that means you do.
Yeah, that's so cute. Yes.
With the penguin's hat on.
Yep, I love that.
And then when Edna shows up, I love when Brenda Maxworth says hi, and she's like, shut up.
Yep.
Not even looking at her. Well past her.
God, see, again, that's what I'm saying about this show is those characters that are in, like, almost every town, like, in real life, that's what makes the show good.
They're called realtors.
Yes, it's true. It's 100% true, and I am related to some realtors for real. Sorry, Uncle Jim and Aunt Sue.
They're gonna listen to this podcast.
They better.
If they're not, they're total realtors.
Bright gets to be really sweet. He tells Delia, "You're the only one in your family who wasn't a total freak."
Yeah.
Which she takes as a total compliment.
Yeah.
She just smiles like. Mm-hmm. The Edna Bright stuff, so that is the vein in the episode where we do kind of get Edna stuff. It's not as it's not as like story, like it's not the A story of the episode, but it's kind of nice because we haven't seen up until now the relationship between Edna and Bright. Mm-hmm. This is another like a pairing that like I really appreciate seeing in this episode where you can tell that there's some kind of like a tension between them. They just don't really get along. Harold has to tell her, like, you haven't said hi to Bright yet. And when she does, like, she's really, like, rough.
You haven't said hello to Bright yet.
He hasn't said anything to me either.
Doesn't bother you that your own grandson is avoiding you?
He's a softie. I've got enough of those in my life. I don't need him to like me. Fine. Hey.
Hey.
So, having fun?
Loads.
Parties are a lot easier when you can drink. Is it my imagination, or is your face about the color of balsa wood?
I'm not feeling too great.
You always did have a stomach like a sea cucumber. One twiddle, we all knew what was for breakfast.
Well, thanks. That's helpful.
I didn't mean it like that.
You said it like that.
We done here?
Oh, yeah.
Like, oof.
Yeah. Like, did she, like, watch them sometimes when they were little and, like, they just, like, I don't know, like, what happened?
It's interesting, like, that we meet Bright as, like, this bully, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But as far as Edna's concerned, he's a softie.
Yeah.
And so I think that's interesting information.
Mm-hmm.
About her perception of him, and I think also about him.
Yes,
is she the reason he's a bully?
Could be.
I mean, he just seems to be more... I mean, in general, the things that you learn about him as you go on, like, he doesn't ever want to... You know, before he didn't want to go to the hospital because he's, like, guilt-ridden because of what he did. But then, like, just everything... He's always like, I don't want to go. Like, he's very... I don't know.
He's a baby.
Yeah, he's a baby. That's what I'm saying. That's why he gets along with the little girl. Like, he...
Yeah.
He
like that he knows, like, oh, Miss Violet, I had her twice.
Yeah.
I got held back in the third grade.
Yeah. Yep.
We painted state flags. So yeah, I did that twice.
Yeah.
I can't help but kind of like Bright a bit in this episode for the first time in the show. Like, it's kind of nice. I don't know.
Second time. Come on. He got Ephraim to go to the party for his sister.
Oh yeah, no, that was cool. Yeah, but that was still like this is more like. This is, I don't know, charming, gentle. We get some Ephraim and Amy interaction. He tells her, when you're nice to me, it's like there's nothing I can't do. When you're mad at me, I can't think about anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm reading that. That's
healthy.
That's healthy. Yeah. Is that codependence? I don't know what codependence really is. I don't.
I mean, it would have to be returned for codependence, right? She's like a jerk.
Here's what I like about Amy in this episode is that she does acknowledge, she like says to him, like, I haven't particularly had a history of being cautious with your feelings. Right. Like, mm-hmm. She owns up to that.
Yeah.
Which I think is mature of her.
Mm-hmm.
And she does finally apologize at the end of the diner. She just has to, you know, she could have apologized to him, you know, right. Out in the snow. Time has stopped. This is your chance, yeah. Amy. Like, yeah. While your brother's dying, why don't you apologize?
Yep.
Well, because she's got so much on her mind. Okay. Every time she gets into a fight with a boy in her life, they end up sick or close to death.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun. Edna kind of comforts Bright during the operation, which is mm-hmm. kind of sweet. And then they have that scene at the end where she says, she calls Bright a good soldier, says that he's under strict orders never to get sick like that again. And he says, no deal. Mm-hmm. She's like, what? And he says, no deal. Say it again, but nicer. That's very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. What else? I like the Delia and Amy scene. Again, these pairings, right? We haven't seen like really mm-hmm. a lot of Amy and Delia, but you know, despite, yes, it is maybe weird that Amy is like, I don't know. I think there's weird stuff going on in the character's head, and we get that in the writing later. But I think that you're right, KT, that we don't really see it in the performance necessarily. It's just kind of like they talk about what boys are dumb.
Yeah.
And it's hard being a sister.
Yeah, because doesn't she even say that Bright is a dick or whatever? Like, she doesn't say dick, but she says something mean. And I'm like, dude, while your brother is getting gut open, again, reaffirming what I'm saying is that she's a fucking horrible sister.
I think it's insecurity. I think that she, like, probably, like, leans on that because, as she expresses later, like, I keep hurting people with my, like, when I argue with them
with
or when
my
I'm
witch powers.
Mean at them. Yeah. I don't know. Harold comforts Bright with a little story. Mm-hmm. We hear a little story about Aunt Linda.
Yeah.
And we get Andy saying, she sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is that foreshadowing or do we never meet Aunt Linda over the course of the show?
Or have we already met her and it's going to be revealed, oh, this is the other person related.
Wait, your sister's the lunch lady?
Yep.
No, it's the psychologist, Jane Krakowski.
I do like the whole they're forced to do this operation on Bright mm-hmm. under difficult circumstances, and it's cool seeing Harold, Dr. Abbott, like have to trust Andy. I mean, we already know that he knows that Andy's talented,
mm-hmm.
so it's not a stretch for him to be like, all right. Dr. Brown's going to do something showy with your back.
Right. Yeah. There's not like a fight there, which I appreciated. Right. Like, he didn't push back on it. Like, it makes sense that, mm-hmm. and it's nice that it was revealed to us before. I liked the different layers with those three different doctors in the room and kind of the different mm-hmm. relationships there. Yeah. That was cool.
My least favorite part of this episode, and it does have to do with Amy, actually.
Okay.
100%. But so it's at the end in the diner. When Ephraim says to Amy, you are by far the strangest girl I've ever met.
Yeah.
I don't buy it. Mm-mm, I don't buy it for a second. Mm-mm, Ephraim, no. You are like this cool kid.
Yeah.
You were about to go on a date with like a Gwyneth Paltrow girl in New York, like for dance or prom or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. like Amy is
basic,
like white bread.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. like she's
100%.
Yep.
There's nothing really strange about her. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to deny, there might be like, there's some little like cute quirkiness sometimes that she presents, but like, she is not the strangest girl you've ever met.
No.
And you know it. You're just saying that because your dick is hard.
Yes. I had a problem with that line as well. Yeah,
yeah, it's a dumb line.
But the thing is, she probably does think she's weird.
Oh yeah, exactly. Not like the other girls.
But also, like, there are probably like some other like loners and outcasts in
Everwood. Uh huh. Mm-hmm. There are some fucking weird ass girls in that school that don't get on camera.
Yes, 100%. Absolutely. Man.
I cannot wait for there to be competition with Amy for Ephraim's affection.
Wendell.
Is that going to happen? I hope. God, that would be so much better. Poor Wendell.
Ephraim should totally be bi. That would have been groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Well, you spoiled it. He's not.
Yeah. Man, if there's going to be competition, I'm excited because I'm so tired of this Ephraim and Amy thing. Once the girl you like
pulls the earbuds out of your ear and they fall onto the diner floor.
Oh, that was so weird.
You're in it forever.
I was like, what? That's really intimate. You sneak up behind somebody, you touch their neck, because the way she did it was like so like, poo, you know, what? Poo. I was like, what is poo?
All she did was pull out his headphones.
Yeah, but what? Surprisingly, and it was from behind with her little wrists on his ear and neck area. It was very intimate. I said that when we were watching it.
I think it was intentional.
Yeah, but that's why I'm so fucking annoyed with this fucking character, because she is flirting constantly, or at least like
she's
like,
grieving.
She's grieving, KT.
Ah, these two deserve each other. God.
Wait, how about this? Break me off a piece of that KT bar. Kit Kat? KT? I don't know.
There's a lot of K's and T's in there.
Sweet.
Anyway, of course, we get another final narration about snow. Snow gives second chances. It cleanses. It hides our sins. It allows you to feel pure again, if only for a little while, which might be all you need. Mm-hmm. This is the episode where we learn that Irv is a white supremacist. Thinly coded language about purity? Cleansing? Literally use the word cleansing.
Oh my God.
What's going on with Irv?
Oh, I would love to know more about Irv. Oh man. I guess I'm not going to. He's just the narrator.
Oh, also, the Jacob actor can teach Gregory Smith a few things about being filmed while playing the piano.
Yeah, well, he's also like a million years old, and he's probably done it in other things. Probably.
Or he can actually play the piano.
Yeah, I wondered if he could.
I think he probably can a little bit anyway. Could.
Yeah, yeah, because
they didn't have to cut away
point.
As quickly for him. That's what I just pictured when they were sitting when Ruth said, "Come look at them playing." I just pictured him being like, "All right, Greg, come on, this is what you do."
Poor Gregory Smith. Well, that's all my notes. Did you guys have any other?
I don't think so.
This indeed was Ever Would Never Wouldn't Civil War. Yes. That was a tense start to the episode.
I should have saved it for the end for some reason. Or
no, that was.
Are
no,
you
was
Tony good. Stark or are Adam and I Tony Stark?
But yeah, who's the K? Well, already in that movie, like the
I certainly am not Captain America. Are you fucking kidding me? I don't think I'm Tony Stark either.
Captain America ends up being the one who's arguing for, like, to go against the system, and chaotic Tony Stark is the one who's like, we have to abide by the law. So I'm typically Captain America of Everwood. Like, I'm like, we need to abide by Everwood because Everwood's in charge. We all love Everwood. And you are Tony Stark of like Everwood. This is bullshit. Like, okay. What? So, but in this situation, I guess this makes me Tony Stark because if we're going with the Civil War thing, Tony Stark is unexpectedly like, yeah, who gives a shit about your brother's appendix? That's Tony Stark.
Yeah. And I'm Star-Lord.
Fucking, oh man. Oh.
Now whenever I think about Captain America, I'm thinking about this character on The Boys called Homelander.
Oh.
He's like the Captain America of that show, and he's like the most interesting part of the show for sure.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, we have survived the Civil War. Next week's
we're no
episode,
longer friends, though. So
we're no longer friends,
yeah,
but we
were alive.
Be podcast makers together.
I think it's going to add a new dimension.
Yeah, the tensions.
Wow.
I said from the beginning that I would love for this podcast to like turn into some weird like meta like narrative unfolding.
That doesn't sound like something you would make, but go on.
Listen to the Pod Need Intercast.
Yep.
All right. Next week for us is 2 days before Thanksgiving, 2020, November 24th. We are planning on getting together and watching the next episode, which is called A Thanksgiving Tale.
A Thanksgiving Tale. Is it like tale, like story?
It is.
Because if we're supposed to guess what it is, I need to know what the spelling is.
It got cut off. It's a Thanksgiving Taylor Swift.
Oh.
See, what they should have called it is A Thanksgiving Tale, Andy Brown Goes West.
Yeah.
No, so it is T-A-L-E, A Thanksgiving Tale.
Okay. All right. Well, it's about Thanksgiving.
Oh. Really?
I just want it to be like the Pilgrim... Native American tale retold, but like just with these actors, like kind of in their characters.
Definitely. All white Native American tale.
All right.
It's really groundbreaking. It's
groundbreaking.
It's never been done.
We need to wrap this up. Okay. I want to still be friends with you guys. So let's do the Everwood theme song together.
Are we going to do the ratings or do we do the theme song first?
Oh my God, I forgot about the ratings. Ooh. For me. Okay. 5.55 for me. 5.55.
Okay.
Across the board. I knew that it was the episode with where they get snowed in, which like immediately for me is like, oh my God, I love this. Mm-hmm. I knew that it was going to be like the resolution to the Is Ephraim Going to New York stuff. I remember that like Bright gets some fun moments in this episode. Yeah. So 5. I enjoyed it while watching it again, like really appreciated the acting and those pair ups, like seeing characters interact that we don't get to see interact a lot.
Yeah.
Really cool. And KT failed to change my mind during the post episode conversation with their point about Amy and the snow and Bright. So it's still a 5 for me. Mm-hmm. Mic drop. That's a pen.
Ooh, that's a pen.
Don't drop your microphone. All right, so going into it, 5 stars.
Okay.
I'm anticipating this every week. It's always going to be a 5.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, well, who knows after this debacle? Because during this, it was like 4 going into 3 because I could feel just the pressure like rising.
Wait, during the watching of
it? Yeah, like we paused and like
true.
We talked
I
about it a little
upset.
Bit, and I'm like, oh my God, okay, what is going to happen? And then like at the end, like we started off with this battle, this siege, and it was like 1 star right there. That was it was, and then like then we started talking about Dr. Abbott eventually. Now we're back up to 5 stars.
you keep taking all the things I'm gonna say, because I was gonna say 5 heading in, like always.
We should
like
do ratings of giving the ratings.
Ooh.
But I was gonna say, like, the while watching, I really liked the start. I really liked the snowed in stuff. I liked all that. But I freaking hated this Amy stuff. And I'm starting to really not like her. So it went down to a 3. But then I think back up to a 4 because I really do like everything else about it. But like the Amy stuff really bothered me and too much. Like it really is starting to irritate me. This, like, it feels almost like she's a jerk. Like that she's toying with him. Even though I don't care how much she wants to keep making up with him. And he's so sweet and like, I guess just really likes her a lot. But come on. So it's kind of like, oh, but I'll still give it a 4 and then 5. For the next
nice.
One.
Nice.
No, aww, that's not what the last star rating is.
I'm sorry. I always forget.
Yeah. What's your, have we changed your mind?
No, you didn't change my mind.
So definitely 5.
Is it a 4 after the fact for you?
Yeah, I guess so. But I like the episode. Like, I don't know. That's hard. I don't want to be too critical because I really did like a lot of things about it.
I will say this. In those like the featurettes and like the commentary that I watched for the pilot, Greg Berlanti, the creator of the show, did talk about what they were looking for Amy, which was an actress that could play like sweet girl next door, but also like kind of a bitch, like when she, like at times. So like that is a deliberate kind of choice that I think they're making with the character of like, she is kind of spoiled and she can be kind of like, you know, bitchy.
Yes. You know? I mean, so, I think that's an appropriate word. I know that it's an overused word, but that's what I was saying. Like, I think that she is just a little too callous with his emotions, and she can say she's callous with emotions or whatever, but guess what? Fucking change that shit, or I don't even want to watch your dumb face anymore. What?
She doesn't have to. He has no other friends.
Well, right, but that's why I'm really intrigued that maybe there's some other love interest. True. I hope there's another love interest. She can
fuck with him, because what else is he going to do?
But that's even more bad.
Yeah.
Oh, need I remind you?
Yeah.
She's screaming.
No!
She doesn't even get to hang out with her boyfriend. His parents kicked her out of the hospital.
Oh, get out of here with that bullshit. She doesn't even like the boy. She just because feels she was
like, it's because the parents were like, she's kind of a nice girl, but also she's kind of a bitch.
Yeah. Remember when she was saying really bitchy things to her son? Like, let's get her out of here. Let's orchestrate a coma and then kick her out of the hospital. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's heal our wounds by singing our heartfelt rendition of the Everwood theme song together.
Okay.
It's not going to sync up, but the point of what we're about to do is that we can do this remotely with one another, and it won't synchronize auditorily, but it will synchronize us in our hearts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Parker, don't fix this one.
I thought you were going to talk to Peter Parker, like he's swinging in and underoos, you know, like in Avengers, because we were talking about Civil War. Anyway, I didn't realize you were talking about Parker, the person that's supposed to be editing this. I'm sorry, Parker. Don't ever edit this far.
All right, so here we go. You guys start off, because I'm nervous.
Okay.
More heartfelt. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you,
everybody.
Good night.
Everywood.
Everywood?
Yeah. Everywood.
God bless us, Everywood.